You know what I want you to do, Al?
Yeah.
Take a moment, because I'm going to have to take a moment.
All right.
And try to be a little bit more definitive, if you can, all right, when we get back to you.
All right? Mm-hmm.
Because...
But that's why I'm calling you, because I can't...
wild dreams you can't describe. That's not given a great deal to work out here.
No.
All right. Now, I know that you can put it back together in just a little bit more concise fashion, and we'll be waiting for that in a couple of minutes. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's open.
Thing or a dream that is possibly typical. I went to another planet.
You went to another planet?
Yes. And again, it was like the nearest thing I can make it with was it was very much like the Grand Tetons, only there was no snow on. And the whole thing was very, very torn up. I saw no people. I was there for just a short while. And I thought the best thing I could do was get the hell out of there as fast as I could.
I hope that's not a precognitive dream about Earth.
I do, too. Other things that have happened...
What does that symbolism mean to you?
Well, it's just about the same. When people dream of going to another planet, they're just going to another state of consciousness. They're going to another state of awareness. It's not so much a transmigration of the soul up to Saturn, Neptune, or Mars.
Or beyond.
Or beyond. I think it's something that's happening internally. And there's a planet is a state of mind. It's a state of awareness. And apparently, Al, you were frightened of this place. There were no people. There was no snow. It was all turned up. And you got out of there as fast as possible.
But there was no fear.
Yeah.
It was just a knowingness that this isn't the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's something that you mentioned there. No people. Very seldom do my dreams have people. Very seldom do they relate to, as you have said, swimming with a school of whales or being able to fly with bunnies or whatever. They aren't that kind of dreams. Mm-hmm. I've gone into bookstores and... Not purposely, but I pass a counter that says dreams, and I look through it. And I've done this with magazines, with books, with whatever. Nothing of my dreams is anything like anyone has ever...
Do you live alone?
Okay.
Pardon?
Do you live alone?
Yes.
Do you spend much time with people?
Yes.
Or are you basically a loner?
No, I'm basically a loner, but I'm not a recluse.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I belong to several organizations that I like to be with, and I'm mm-hmm. active that way.
Yeah. The dream now may even make a little bit more sense, and maybe at the particular time, I'm not really sure. I'm just speaking very generally now,
mm-hmm.
Al, to give you some guidelines. Remember, books do not interpret dreams, and in fact, there's only one theory about dreams, and that is there are no theories. I think perhaps this dream could represent also at the time that maybe you were going through an isolated period, a period where you weren't around people a lot. You weren't reaching out to people very much. You weren't including people in your life. And you just wanted to get out of that state. And it was time to move into more relationships.
And there's a difference between, you know, rubbing shoulders with people but and having people in your life.
Absolutely.
You know, you can go to the, you know, Rams game and rub shoulders with people, but they're not in your life.
Right. They're not intimately connected to you. They're not involved with you in relationship. And if you're not having a lot of people in your dreams, I would say that you probably need to connect to people more.
Well, this was happening even when I was married.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
There seems to be a message there, Al, and the music is a message for us, so we're going to take a break.
Okay.
It's a part of all of us, a part of some of us more than others that we remember, and that is that fascinating world that we live many hours out of the day, the world of the dream, and my guest tonight is Dr. Arthur Bernard, and we'll talk about your dreams, just dreams in general as the evening goes on. But if I can digress for just a moment, Dr. Bernard, if you'll allow me to do this, there is a dream that millions of people around the world have. In fact, I suppose everybody on this planet has, and that is for world peace. And there is a program going on. and which what is recognized is the great power of the mind, a dedication of the mind, and whenever that can be channeled in some sort of a fashion together, that things can happen because of the energy of the mind. As we know, a thought is in the virtual state. It's a real thing. It has substance. It has energy. And it works. And there's a program called The Million Minutes of Peace. It's an international appeal just to dedicate a minute of your time in meditating for peace. I support that. And I would hope that you too also support that. And if you don't mind, I would like to kind of lead you in that for a moment or two with a little meditation that has been specially prepared for you. And I would like to share that with you. And let's think about what it would be like on this planet if we could devote our time and our energy toward peace rather than what we're devoting it to.
Simple as it seems, that's how we got to the moon. Then you keep it in mind all of the time, and miracles really will happen. I know it's true. No matter what the odds are, if you just believe, you'll always find an answer. We are a part.
Your thoughts count.
Beautiful.
It starts with a dream. The dream is fortified by the thought. In this group, and we want to thank Mary Eichler, Sister Mary Eichler, who was with us about 6 weeks ago, talking about the international effort, A Million Minutes for Peace. And all you need to do is dedicate a minute of your thought time in the great quest for peace. And if millions do that around the world, from every walks of life and every nation, every ethic, there is a lot of energy there that may work. And I thank you, Arthur, for letting me take time out to do that. I probably will do that again, for this is a month-going thing in which we're asking the people just to sit aside, think a minute, and devote a minute toward international peace.
That's a heart song.
That is a great song.
It's a heart song. It comes right from the heart.
Her name is Mary Eichler, and she's not making any money doing this. She's only profiting in that she may contribute toward peace, and her and all of her group there, I applaud them, and I support them. Dreams is where it started, though.
Right.
As she so aptly said right in the front of that song. Thank you, Mary, for that.
We can all make our dream come true.
It's probably the reason we have them, isn't it?
I think so.
There's something that needs to come true in your life, and that's played out in many kind of abstract and sometimes very deliberate forms, as dreams go. Simon, what about you?
Hello?
Yeah.
My subconscious mind and my conscious mind is absolutely in tune. Suppose I do a good deed in the daytime, I dream about it at night.
If you do a bad deed in the daytime,
I try never to do a bad deed.
Good for you.
With a name like Simon?
Like, I have a business, right?
Yes.
People give me, they come to my store, they give me, they buy groceries and give me $20, $30, $40 check. And it bounces. I go to them and ask them, I have a check here that bounces. And they say they are badly off. I, what I do? I give them the money. I say, go to the store and destroy the check. And would you believe me, at night I dream the same dreams.
And you?
And I also dream that I go out to all the poor neighborhoods and I stuff my pockets with $20 bills. And I go to like the poor neighborhoods and, you know, I see a woman or a man poorly dressed and all. I quietly hand them $20. And I dream the same thing at night, what I do in the daytime.
How do you feel in the dream?
In the dream, I feel very, very happy, and I feel seated. But when I see the people, when I give them the money, they feel very happy. Most of them, in fact, they tell me when I give them the money for the check, and they say, God sent you, God sent you. And their faces lighten up.
Simon, this is also for the listening audience. When the conscious mind, when the attitude of the conscious mind is right and correct, we have pleasant dreams.
And at night, I feel such good dreams.
Yes. When the conscious attitude is off, when it's wrong or it's inaccurate, then we have bad dreams, or frightening dreams, or terrifying dreams, or nightmares. But when our conscious mind is aligned with the spirit, then our dreams are very pleasant and very pleasing, and we usually wake up with a happy feeling. So whatever you're doing internally is working for you, and it's the right approach for you. I would definitely keep that up, keep that going.
I've been doing that since I was 14 years old. I even did it during the war when people were starving to death. When I was starving, if I made $10, quietly I'd take $5 and go to see some woman that had lost her husband or something. Mm-hmm. I give it to her, and she said, who sent this money? I said, oh, some rich. I didn't want to tell her that I was giving it. I used to tell her, some rich man sent it, but he doesn't want to mention his name. But I was doing the favor.
You know, Simon, that song was for you.
It was.
Absolutely, Simon. You're fulfilling the meaning of the song that was just played.
You know, I'm in business here in Beverly Hills for 24 years. I don't know if not one person hates me.
Yeah.
How can they, Simon?
Well,
you're telling us an accurate picture of yourself.
You're a good dream, Simon, to a lot of people.
It's not because you're giving away money. That has nothing to do with it.
Because I feel sorry, because I've seen life. Mm-hmm. During the war, I was starving to death.
You're giving away love, Simon.
Yeah.
You're sharing love, and people respond to that. You touch people's heart.
Simon, you made it worthwhile to come to work tonight.
And I wish other people would do the same thing. They'd be much happier in life, They don't feel sick. They feel always feel good inside, you know.
Well, the best way to do that, Simon, is just set an example. And I guess you're doing that.
As the song said, it starts with me. It starts with one.
Our thoughts and our actions.
The same thing now. I have a son, 30 years old, and he said, Dad, I'm bored to work in the church. I said, go ahead. Go and do charity work. And he does 30 charities, absolutely voluntary. He spends about 12 hours there doing voluntary work. Not one or two, about 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very, very happy with what he's doing.
Very good.
Spiritual people are happy people. In fact, I think spiritual people, truly spiritual people, are the happiest people I know.
Sound like you're one of those, Simon.
Thank you, Simon.
I appreciate you sharing that with us. That was just a perfect follow-up of that marvelous song.
Have a very happy night.
You seem to be a song yourself.
Thank you.
Okay, Simon. You know, you said something in that that rings my chain. And certainly it's been a theme of what we have talked about here over the last 7 or 8 years, about the alignment of our own personality with the personality of our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We came into this world with something to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
We came in as very spiritual beings. And quite often it seems like that we want the spirit to serve the physical being rather than the way it should be, and that is the physical being serving the needs of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you just said something I'd never heard before, that if you don't have that alignment between your spiritual being or your high self or whatever the terminology you want to be using there in the world that you're living in, that you are going to suffer in all kinds of ways, and the dreams are telling you that.
Yes.
Hey, I thank you for that. That makes an awful lot of sense to me.
Thank you.
We're on Open Mind tonight. Dr. Arthur Bernard is with me. Our subject is dreams. 1KABC. Paul was our first caller this evening.
Yes, there's one, just one other thing I'd like to say about that dream of the planet where that was all torn up and there was no people, because this may have come up more than once. Sometimes you can get a lot out of a dream by noting what is missing in the dream. And what was missing in this dream were people. And that may be at that particular time what was missing in Al's life, and I think all of us can relate to that at some time or another, where we just get so wrapped up in our own thing, get so self-centered within our own issues, that we tend to forget humanity. And I know that whenever I get into that place, whenever I feel cut off or depressed, I get on the phone, or I tell my wife to get on the phone, call somebody, make plans, because just to touch someone. I always think of that song that they sang in the Olympics, Reach Out and Touch Someone.
I thought that was a commercial for Belltel. I shouldn't touch you with a bill.
Well, when I saw it in the Olympics, I think it had a deeper meaning. So that's what I wanted to mention about Al's dream.
That was a poignant moment.
Right.
I have a way of dropping that in. You know, I've always, if you want to be enlightened, you got to lighten up. Dr. Peoples taught me that.
Yeah.
That was a poignant moment when she sang that song.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
I replay that over and over again when I recorded that, and that whole mm-hmm. Olympic experience was something that should never be forgotten. But mm-hmm. That's a tearjerker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It touches deep within us.
And was touching all of those people from all over the world,
mm-hmm.
all nations and nationalities. It was just the David Walter perfect right song thing under the circumstances.
Right.
I hope that helps you a little further, Al. I hope you're still with us. Well, let's see what Steve has on his mind. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you doing, Bill?
Well, so far, so good.
Good, Dr. Bernard. Wonderful show.
Hi, Steve.
I'm a little nervous here, so bear with me.
I got to be a disc jockey tonight, you know, so.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Dreams are fascinating to me. I dream at least twice a night. And I've noticed that in a lot of the dreams that I have, the people in the dreams, I don't recognize. And I've read some articles and some books lately, and some of them have suggested that these people could be spirit guides or such. What do you think about that?
Well, could you be a little bit more specific? Are there a lot of people? Are there individual people?
Well, you know, it depends on the dream.
Yeah.
Usually, you know,
just a couple of people.
Just a couple of people. And, you know, I do have, naturally, I have dreams of people that I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you want to talk about spirit guides, I think there's a different sense or a different feeling if you believe in that. I've had several people that have had dreams of, quote, spirit guides, and the guides come as in a guru, or as a monk, as a priest. It's something really striking and unusual. In general, though, when you...
I have one that likes my car. You don't care about me, but likes my car.
Steve, in general, though, when you meet people in a dream that you don't recognize, they generally represent aspects of yourself, qualities about you that are still stranger to you, that you're still not totally familiar with. You haven't quite recognized these aspects. And it's important to look at the individual that you're meeting in the dream and describe that person and what is that person like, what sense do you have about them, because they could represent the new part of you that you don't quite recognize yet. It could represent your growing edge, new things that you need to integrate, incorporate, or become aware of.
Well, I feel that I'm so fortunate to be able to dream at least once a night and remember them.
Absolutely.
That I should write these down, and I'm really disappointed with myself that I don't write down my dreams because of, you know, I understand, like you're saying, I could maybe learn something from these people and other things.
Oh, you could learn a tremendous amount.
Yeah, I need to get on the ball and
well,
do that.
Well, let me suggest to you, if writing them down is too difficult, Steve, why don't you just record them?
Mm-hmm.
Have a tape recorder. Put the mic underneath your pillow, and then you don't even have to turn the light on. Open your eyes. Just reach in, flip the mic on, and record the dream. And then later, if you want to put it in a book.
So you can get one of those Walkmans that records.
Right. Yes.
You know.
Right. Yeah, something anyway. Well, thank you very much, and it's a great show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve, for joining us and being interested in dreams.
Okay. I'm interested in all your topics.
Are you going to give a minute for World Peace?
Definitely, and that was a great song. Too bad it couldn't be number one on the Billboard chart.
Well, I tell you what, we'll play it again.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear it again.
We'll play it again. In fact, I'll play it all this month.
Yeah, get your sister station to play it over there sometime.
It doesn't rock enough.
Yeah. Well, it rocks for me anyway. Thank you very much.
But maybe we can talk him into playing it at KLOS because the moment is enormously special. Thank you, Steve.
You might appreciate it. Well, thank you very much.
I'm Bill Jenkins. We have Dr. Arthur Bernard with us tonight. We're talking about dreams. But last week, Glenn Falkenstein, who was a mentalist of note, was on with us for a few minutes, and we were talking about the project that is underway at the Great Pyramids in Egypt, where they have discovered three new chambers in the larger of the pyramids, the one in the middle. Cheops. And the idea was that they were going to drill like an inch and an eighth or an inch and a quarter hole through the rocks into it and then put fiber optics into it and look into the chambers. And Glenn told us what they were going to find in the chambers. In one, they were going to find a boat with a number of artifacts and perhaps some jewelry and things in it. In the second one, they were going to find a sarcophagus with a mummy of a small child in it, and other artifacts. And in the third one, he found it difficult, but they're going to find a lot of artifacts and documents, which will lead to some amazing discoveries. On top of that, the whole project was supposed to have been over already. Glenn told us that they were going to have a great deal of difficulty, first of all, in the physical fact of drilling, and secondly, there were going to be some political and, like, union problems with the crew that are involved. Well, the drill bits, as of Monday, weren't working. Just as Mr. Falkenstein told us, they have not gone very far with this project at all. They certainly have not drilled into the chambers as they intended to have done at this time. And we don't know about the other problems they're having with the people, so we're scouring the newswire to find out. But I did want to keep you up to date in Kansas City as to the Falkenstein look into those chambers, and it will be interesting to see how correct he is once they get their fiber optics in there and begin to look at all of these things, a boat, a sarcophagus, and they're going to have to get into the third chamber to get those maps and things if Glenn is indeed right. Was he dreaming?
I think it's more than that.
He's touching something else, isn't he?
Probably.
An interesting man. You can call him and on his answering machine, and you just think your message and leave your number.
And he calls you back.
Hmm.
I don't know if I'd want him to call me back.
You certainly want to be on his good side.
Oh, absolutely. And as long as I don't know him, I am on his good side.
We will have him on the show here sometime in November. It's better to have him on the show and my friend than... than doing whatever he can do. You know, he can really get me into a lot of trouble, so I'm going to cultivate that friendship with great gusto. Okay, Margaret, you're on.
After my father passed away, about a month after he passed away, I had a dream where I was standing in the kitchen looking out the window, and he was standing behind me, and he told me, the only thing he said is that he said was, "I'm very sorry," and that was all he said in the dream, and it was as if I were above looking down at all this, and after I woke up, I mean, the way he looked, he just looked so, so peaceful and so calm, and just everything about him, he was just like a person that I really didn't know, because my father was an alcoholic and he was very abusive. That's the type of life, you know, childhood I grew up in. But after that dream, it was as if, is it possible? You know, that dream has always boggled my mind because...
Margaret, do you think that he was actually there visiting you? That you were in his presence as a spirit?
I believe that it was him, that it wasn't a dream, but I...
Mm-hmm. That there was a spirit connection.
Yes.
Well, what would he mean when he said, "I'm very sorry"? What would he mean by that?
Well, I feel that it would be the way he... Because of the childhood of how miserable it was, almost, you know, because of the way he was. Like I said, he was an alcoholic and he was very abusive, and I feel that he was just asking for my forgiveness.
Yeah. And have you forgiven him?
Yeah, I have.
This is a very, very sensitive issue to you, and I can feel the emotion. You have forgiven him. You have released him.
Yes, I have.
When did you have the dream? How long ago was this?
Well, it was about a month after he passed away. He passed away 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you're sorry for? Is there anything that you would want to apologize to him about?
I think that I just more or less... I just saw him as a person. I didn't view him as my father. I when I was younger, I really disliked him. And after I got married and moved away, I just more or less kind of just felt sorry for him, but yet I didn't particularly care for him, mm-hmm. You know.
And after the dream, what were your feelings about him?
It was almost like... It wasn't him, you know, it was the alcohol. It wasn't,
right.
You know, there was a,
right.
Something that had possessed him, that wasn't my father, the alcoholic.
Right. It was the alcohol that made him into that.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it almost seems to me that he came to help you work it out, to work out the negative feelings towards him, to work out the bad feelings, that he actually came to release you of the bad memories that you could have been left with. And so, in a sense, he liberated you from having to carry those feelings, those negative feelings, into the future of your life. I think a lot was worked out. And at some level, the two of you must be very, very close. Even though in the conscious life, there was a lot of distance and some anger and resentment, that at some deeper level, perhaps even without the alcohol, that the two of you were very much connected. And it's interesting he came to you in the kitchen, because the kitchen is the place usually where the family center is focused.
Yeah.
It's the place where the family prepares food. It's the place where the family, in a sense, is united. So I think it's a very healing dream. You know, Margaret, many people have told me that when a person has passed on, they have a similar dream as this. I'm sure many of the listeners that